We're here with Paul Schrader at the ATIA. No, this isn't the ATIA yet, is it?
No, it's the NIMAS pre-conference.
Were you in the NIMAS meeting this morning?
I was not in today's meeting. I look forward to being in tomorrow. I've been sort of teed up on discussions of image formatting that took place today. Were you in there?
Oh, yeah. That's been a long, long and tedious discussion. But anyway, Paul, tell us about your career and what you're doing interesting. Well, you're a pretty interesting guy, I must say.
The proof will be in the results here. I'm running programs and policy for AFB, so all of our policy office in Washington reports to me most of our programs, and over the last year, we've been doing a lot of restructuring as we're focusing more on what we can be doing to help professionals in the blindness field in terms of training and information, and then also to try to be more careful and judicious in picking the issues we're going to focus on so that we can really put more resources behind solving stuff.
And what are some examples of some issues you've decided to focus on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had a meeting last week of our staff, and around the table, it didn't seem to matter where people worked at the organization. The issue of healthcare kept coming up, and the difficulties that people who are blind have in accessing services through healthcare. We've spent a lot of time trying to get rehabilitation services covered, for example, as part of healthcare. And there's a lot of arguments pro and con on that.
Yeah.
But we've also been talking about the needs of people such as diabetics who are, of course, often accompanied by vision loss, and yet there's so little accessible technology for managing diabetes. Yeah. There's also little accessible information. Nutrition is a problem. Fitness is a problem. And so this is one of these things that cuts across technology. It cuts across literacy. It cuts across access to information. And we begin to see that really in so many places in the healthcare and health-related areas.
That really even cuts across blindness, too. I mean, there's sighted people that are having all these issues, too.
Absolutely true. And a lot of sighted people, of course, with conditions like diabetes that will end up with vision loss.
Yeah.
And they don't know very much about, you know, where to turn when that happens. And so that's another part of the puzzle that we want to fill in.
Okay. That's a great issue. You got a couple more that y'all are focusing on?
Well, we're obviously still very much focused on making sure that the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Standard works for its intended purpose, and that we can start getting books into the hands of blind kids in an accessible format when that goes into effect in just, what, about a year and a half now, as we're starting to enter into countdown time.
Yeah. Actually, the pilot's a year from now.
I guess it is a year from now, come to think of it. Still waiting for the regs from the regulations from the Department of Education that will more fully explain that, but I don't imagine that we're going to see a lot of surprises in those regulations when they do come out. And of course, you know, Larry, we're interested in things like digital rights and copyright and those kinds of issues for moving into this electronic age, an issue that I think is near and dear to your heart too. And how do we expand access to electronic and digital information in this time when people are so afraid of what that access might mean in terms of security trouble?
Excellent issue. So, Paul, you're an attorney by training?
I'm actually not. I get accused of that a lot because I spend so much time around policy.
I'm glad you didn't hit me.
And I love policy, so I've been accused of masquerading as a lawyer, and I can probably cite code and section number effectively enough. But I can't handle precedents. There's where I fall down. Case law, precedent.
Now, how in the world did you get into this field then?
I've always been a political geek, you know. I mean, I followed sports enough when I was a kid to keep from getting beat up, but what I really liked to do was to follow who was in and out in Congress and committees. And
that wasn't cool to be
a kid. No, I didn't talk about that a lot, though. I kind of kept that to myself, Larry. You see, now, you know, back in my day, we didn't have chat groups and emails. You know, I could probably find some kind of an affinity group with, you know, the five other people that would care.
Right.
So we could chat with each other. But then I had to kind of keep it quiet. And so it was a natural transition, I guess, for me to come to a school in Washington, D.C., and then to stick around there and work for the American Council of the Blind for a while.
I'll be darned.
And then now for AFB back in Washington.
And how long you been with AFB?
since 1994.
Okay. And you were with ACB before that?
I was with ACB directly before that. For some of that time with AFB, of course, I headed up our technology program, where the only thing I can say that I really accomplished was to help us launch Access World, our technology magazine, which, of course, is available on the AFB website at afb.org. Follow the link to Access World. There's lots of good material there.
I highly recommend that magazine as well. That's very good, informative material in there.
Thank you. Jay Leventhal's the editor of that now. It's terrific. I think pretty much everybody listening to this probably is going to know Jay. He's been around this field for a long time, a great contributor, a great writer, and he'll be down here this week, in fact.
Good. I'm going to snag him, too, then.
Yes. I think that's a great idea.
Well, I should tell our listeners, before we started recording, I was just asking, Paul and I were talking about the book board. You hadn't tried listening to any podcasts yet, so I was going to tell you about blindtooltech.com, but you're actually probably going to be the newest one on there. So it'll really give you a reason to listen.
I'm going to go run home and snag it and check it out, because I've been very much infatuated with my book board. I've enjoyed using it. Every couple of months I try a new thing. Music a few months ago, adding MP3 files, and then recently downloading an audio book and speeding it up so that I could, Larry, I don't know how sighted people listen to commercial audiobooks at the speed they're recorded. They're just,
I think
it's
they
tedious.
Do it in their car while they're commuting.
I suppose in that case it's probably good that it's slow and they
it's
have plenty of
time. Commercial radio.
Yes, but it was so slow, as all of us know who listen to audiobooks and are done it for years. I mean, you want to be able to speed those up, and I love that feature on the book board. That was a very handy thing to remember.
Yeah, one of these days, I hope we can just do it on the machine itself.
Yes.
Although I think we're going to leave that feature in there to do it on the computer, because it has this fantastic side effect of making the file smaller.
Yeah, I was going to say, that compression feature is also terrific, given the flashcard space fills up fast. At least for me, it does.
You running a pretty big flash card on yours?
You know what? I have not. I've got a couple of different ones, and so I keep, every so often when the price comes down for the higher level, I come out and grab another one.
Yeah. Now, it seems to me like Tug brought your book board in one time, so you had spilled some coke in it or something.
No,
is that you?
No, I don't think that was me. So
you don't drink coke, right?
That's right. So far, I've succeeded in not spilling anything in the book board. Although, I mean, I suppose if somebody hasn't done it already, a nice added feature would be to make a nice plastic overlay case that somebody could run that through to protect from spills a little bit.
Somebody did come out with a leather case.
Have they?
Yeah, really nice. In fact, my sides were hurt, and we were laughing so hard when we first got that case, because we're all like, I can't get the book board in it. Stretch it. Stand on it. Pull it. And it went through about three or four people, and everybody said, no, I'm not stupid, man. I know how to put this in a case. Well, the next guy goes, well, what's these snaps for? Snap, snap. Roger goes, what snaps? Went in there just as pretty as you.
You know, don't you just laugh when every so often you get sort of brought back down a level or two?
I do love
maybe
that.
Maybe I don't know everything after all.
Keeps you humble, doesn't
it? Yes. That's what I have children for. They keep me humble. So, and they humiliate me on a daily basis. It's their job.
How many kids you got, Paul?
Two daughters.
Oh, I'm ahead of you. I got four daughters.
Are you kidding me?
Four daughters and three granddaughters, man.
See, this is why you're such an easy guy to get along with. You've been beat up by girls
to take it and just go on.
my oldest one's a teenager, and the younger one's a teenage wannabe, and I think she's the harder one, actually. She's 10, so.
Yeah. 10 going on 20.
Exactly right. Four children, Larry. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. All the way from 19 to 26.
Wow. So. Very cool.
Girls, I keep telling people I love women. That's why I'm
so many
girls.
It's easy to be surrounded by them, isn't it? I'm pretty happy. I'm not sure what I'd have done if I'd have had a boy.
Me neither.
I'd have figured something out, I'm sure.
My second daughter is pregnant again, in fact, and I keep teasing her and saying, oh, man, that's great. Now I can say I got four daughters and four granddaughters because they're wanting a boy. They just know they're going to have a boy, but I know they're not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some point the odds have got to catch up with you, though, dude.
Gotcha.
You know, I just
got to
believe. It's relatively 50-50.
So what else is going on at AFB?
Well, what else are we doing? We've got our Josephine Taylor Leadership Institute coming up in March.
Yeah, Marianne was just saying something about that.
Yes, March 3rd through the 5th, we're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. So anybody interested, come on over to AFB.org, and there's a link for the Josephine Taylor Leadership Institute.
Oh, is the public invited to that?
There is a registration fee for the conference, but it's really open. We style it as leadership on the belief that anybody who's in this field, is making an investment in this field, can really be a leader or is a leader already. So
Okay. We
very much like to have people. It's one of the sort of misnomers. I think some people don't come to the conference because, well, I'm not a head of an agency or something. And yet, there are a lot of people, you're not there yet, but you might be in 5 years, 10 years. This is a good chance to come out and
Sure. Learn
from others. We're going to, and I was talking about healthcare a minute ago, we're going to put a lot of focus on low vision issues at this conference, as well as on the changes in the healthcare system. The head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is going to speak to us as a keynote. And they've been doing a lot of work recently trying to look at overall health for people with disabilities, not just, you know, access to doctor's office and hospitals and medications and things of that sort. Yes, all of those things. But also what makes a person's lifestyle healthy. Do they have the information they need? Can they get out and move around their community safely, securely, and get help, get healthy that way, as well as addressing all the other kinds of secondary issues that somebody with a disability might contend with, barriers in the environment, et cetera. So the CDC is really getting interested in a broad array of things, and we're trying to help keep them interested in these sort of broader look at disability and making our communities more livable for people with disabilities. And then we're going to have, of course, a number of breakout sessions on technology and on low vision issues, education issues, employment, etc. So this should be a show with something for everybody.
And what's the date and location of that?
It's March 3rd through 5th. It's in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Renaissance downtown.
Okay. So people can find out about it at AFB.org.
AFB.org is a good place to go.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So definitely worth going to, it sounds like.
We would love to have people come over and see us. We've got a lot of stuff on our website. We've been launching new material from the Helen Keller Archives. We've got Ann Sullivan Macy, site devoted to her work.
Really?
Yeah. And boy, I'm trying to think. There's something else that we just launched new on the web as well. But there's a lot of things happening there.
Nice.
So make AFB.org one of your bookmark sites and check us out.
And definitely check out Access Watch. Access World, sorry.
Yes, sir.
Watch.
That's World.
Somewhere, something else. Actually, Access Watch is pretty cool, too. Have you seen that?
I have not. I guess I need to go check that out.
Yeah, it's kind of a place where people review accessibility on software and write their reviews and put them in a database and you can look and see what other people's experiences are. A guy named Jamie Paul got this thing going, I guess just as a hobby at first, and really has turned into a pretty nice setup.
I'll definitely need to check that out. There's a lot of great user community, people helping people, information out there, which is
there is.
Interesting. Of course, you got to learn to sift through it, but it's a,
yeah. That's one of the interesting phenomena about the web. It's all kinds of things come out of people that you wouldn't have expected.
But what I marvel at, and you having children will know this too, is how people have time to go and pursue all of this information and tie it down. Because boy, there's nothing like family time.
Yeah.
To just keep you focused. It's great time, but it's hard to find time to pursue all this information that you might want to access.
Well, it is. My solution to that problem is to put a laptop in the living room. So you can talk and browse at the same time.
I have taken to doing that. I watch Team Nick on Sundays with my girls, so I keep up with what they're doing with TV, but I'll usually have a headphone in one ear and checking out things on the computer. Of course, the other thing is to speed up your book port and ration through stuff as quickly as you can. That's a good way to get information in quickly.
It is, yeah. I tell you, watching TV with the family is, that's one thing I've never been able to do. It puts me to sleep. I just can't get into it. I mean, there's a show now and then, it's all right, but these kids and, my other family members, they just sit there and watch stuff that's of absolutely no value, like, I don't know, Survivor on the Cooking Channel. Well, I guess that could be of some value. It's amazing. I don't know how people can waste that much time.
There's, of course, if you get onto cable, there's a ton of these health shows. My wife likes to watch those for some reason. I've gotten too involved in them. There's a lot of things that I kind of shake my head at, wondering why they're watching it. But, they point out, well, Dad, why are you watching C-SPAN and NPR?
Hey, Marianne.
Yes, Miller. Would you like a drink?
I should have a drink, shouldn't I?
Well, I thought maybe you might want one.
We have to convince Mr. Skootkin to stop, the podcasting here.
Uh-oh.
What are you doing?
You've been caught, Marianne.
What have I done?
You've been recorded offering a drink to a minor.
Oh. Gentlemen don't have one, and you're
the delinquency of it.
Oh,
right.
And to a minor too.
And I'm going to be really ticked off unless you offer me one too.
Right. Larry,
that's the only way this is not going up.
That's right. Well, you all look like you might want one.
Well, I think we should. I think it's time to stop.
Would you want me to? May I do that?
You don't mind being on the podcast, really, do you?
No, I don't mind being on the podcast. But where is this going?
I want to say a word or two about what she's
going to do. I was going to just tap you for that. Yeah. But maybe we ought to wait till after the drinks arrive.
Yeah, maybe so. Are you really serious?
Yeah, I'm recording right now.
Oh, as we talk right now? Oh, hello. Hi, Tuck.
Hey. Oh, it's not for Tuck.
Oh, okay.
It's for, mainly just average blind people like Paul and I here that are fairly active and like to find out about different things.
Where's this going to go, Larry?
All over the... We've got listeners in South Africa, all over Europe.
Blind Cool Tech?
Yeah, blindcooltech.com.
All together.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, you have to check it out, man. It's fun.
He asked if I downloaded the podcast yet. I was looking for it. I said, no, he said, well.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get you to do it.
So, I mean, this is, this is really wild technology. That's amazing. I know that we did the podcast of the Getting in Touch with Literacy Conference. Did you know that, Paul?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that was, they had, it's like, itty-bitty lipstick-size cases that were rolling around, and just, I haven't heard the quality of the conversation, but I know we were taped in our session. And
you'll be amazed.
I will be, I'm sure.
In fact, what are you doing this with?
This little recorder right here. Little Olympus WS. That's got a gigabyte of RAM on it.
On board.
And what's cool?
You got a hook to
my microphone.
Oh, okay.
I'm wearing binaural mics above my ears, so like when you listen to this, it'll be just like you're standing here in my position. Marianne will be on the. Actually, I'm wearing the microphones backwards. I shouldn't tell anybody. So she'll be on the right, but she's really on the left. you'll be on the other side.
Everybody's going to a little serious cognitive dissonance being created.
It really is confusing. I make it a point never to mention directions anymore because you're supposed to wear these in your ears, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
But, you ought to see this thing. It pulls apart, and there's a USB port on it, and you just hook it into your... We can't pull it apart now because it's a recording.
Yeah. So basically, kind of like an iPod for the pull apart.
Yeah.
How much does one of these go for?
That's about $150.
Oh,
isn't that amazing? I remember buying a Jat recorder for, $700 years ago.
I love this digital audio technology.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely want to interview you too, Marianne.
Well,
yeah, we need to get drinks.
Yeah, okay.
You need to shut that. You need to stop recording us getting
drinks. No, that's half the fun of these podcasts. It really is. When you start listening to
you get the, real
it's the real life.
Oh, no, that's a little beyond my comfort zone. I want you to know.
That's right.
I think that's what's kind of interesting about it, though, you know?
Okay.
In fact, one time I went
over
to...
Here,
oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Tell that story.
Well, I went to do one of the Bill Clinton Library, and I forgot to shut it off when I went into the bathroom. Man, you talk about a controversy. And what a better place for it to happen than at the Clinton Library.
Yeah, you forgot.
Can't you erase tapes? Isn't there something
I forgot. Yeah, I could have.
Okay.
I didn't go back and listen to the whole thing.
Don't we have some history behind erasing tapes?
Next
that was another
Nixon
library.
A little gap in there.
Precedent here, and it was in the 70s.
So is that archived up there? Can I go and listen to your Clinton Library visit?
Yeah, except I took that part out.
Well, I didn't
found
that
out. You don't want to listen to that part anyway.
Not particularly, no, but I would be interested in it because I actually thought about going down there to the library.
It's fascinating. Very good. And my dad did a great job of narrating what was around there. So
I'm trying to bring up political geek children. Probably shouldn't admit that publicly either because they're cooperating more or less, especially the older ones. Very into politics and political stuff. So
nice. Well, congratulations.
Invitation to go to presidential libraries for fun.
Yeah.
Which,
they'd enjoy it.
That is fun.
It would be fun, actually.
Oh, it is.
Op-ed that they put up on her high school website for consideration for the paper. It's this op-ed about how Dick Cheney needs to be what he was supposed to be. That is, you know, the guy adding the balance and the help to the Bush administration rather than being like Spiro Agnew. It's a pretty good piece.
Oh,
my goodness.
Wow, 15.
Wow, what
yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, she had a little guidance. But, you know.
Oh, all parents help a little bit.
But it was definitely it was her idea, her writing. She did the work. And it's a good piece. Nice piece of work on it.
That's great.
So there you go. Another political traitor.
We'll see her on the 2020 ticket.
I think she'll go a little further, actually. She'll actually do something useful with it as opposed to just doing sort of spouting off.
Oh, great. I sure am.
All right.
Boy, I felt so bad a while ago. I popped Jake hard because I thought he was sniffing George's dog.
No.
He was just stopped. Perfect.
All right, so we're going to do two cocktails. Two tickets to this
caucus. Yes, sir.
Here's the barman.
All right. So, here's your tickets.
Thank you.
Tickets.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Absolutely. Here's your ticket, sir.
I'll,
All right, Mary. Thanks for
it's
your
$8 change, sir.
Which one is it?
The first one is $5.
And the bar is to the right there?
Yes, sir. I'm going to show you.
Okay.
Three steps forward.
All right.
Maybe three steps. Yeah, three and a half.
Maybe three steps.
Another Leonard Skinner.
There you go.
And you'll never see me anymore.
Oh, you'll be fine. Okay. Door's
just a little ice.
Door to ice?
Like drop one piece.
All right. Oh, you're a tough guy, huh?
Yeah, you know. Just got to get a little chilled
other than that. All righty, then. Right in front of you. There you are.
All right, thank you.
And what can I get for the other gentleman?
I'm a wimp. I need need two ice cubes in mine.
Same drink. Yeah. All right, I'm going to put three. Just in case.
All right.
Make sure you guys are chilled enough. There we go. The glass is right in front of you.
Thank you, sir.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
All right.
What are you guys from?
Thank you much, man.
Oh, thank you. Where are you guys from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
D.C. area?
That's why we like that hard liquor, you know.
We make it.
Wow. Is people still living in Kentucky?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're living better than ever.
I'm sure. I'm here. Got a good football team.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Let's see. What else do we need to say about
you follow Kentucky basketball there, Mr. Blair?
Yeah.
Louisville,
yeah.
KY.
Both of them, yeah. I'm not a freak fan or anything, but I like it. Especially when they're winning.
Yeah, well, they've had some ups and downs this year, I guess. Let's see, Kentucky's had a couple of games where they've just been embarrassed.
Yeah.
Louisville was doing pretty well. Got beat over the weekend, I believe.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think.
I was watching part of that game, kind of switching back and forth between the football and the basketball. So.
Yeah, most of our good players, I guess, graduated last year. So kind of got a fairly new team, but that's all right.
All right, so you picked up on the whole Skinner reference. Were you a Skinner kid?
Yeah, weren't you?
Of course, absolutely. That's when I came up playing guitar with Southern Rock stuff.
Oh, you play the guitar?
Yeah, that's
nice.
Early influences.
That's something I've always wanted to do, and I've never got past being able to strum a few folk chords and stuff like that.
You know, there's always
time. Can I just say hello? Suzanne Dalton.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I've been irritating Larry all day. Now.
And I keep telling her to do it more.
And just irritating him every
time. I'm still smiling, though.
That's right. And so now I can start irritating you, too.
I would love that,
that's
actually.
Right.
That would be terrific.
I'm going to go sit down because I can't stand
all right.
Long, but I just wanted to come say hello. All right.
Great
you guys
to see you.
Are
you going to be around tomorrow?
Absolutely.
This meeting?
Okay. See you then.
See you, Suzanne.
I think you need to put a little time into playing guitar.
I want to. It's one of those things that just gets shoved back.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you.
Always got one more little thing I need to do on the computer.
My 40-year-old birthday present to myself is to buy an inexpensive violin and take lessons and try to, you know, do something that I knew would be challenging.
How's that coming?
Well, it went well for a little while, about 6 months, and I kept losing teachers. I think it was me, although, you know, it could have been. The first one, there were these young kids, so the first one, she went off to college, so okay, I can't really take the fall for that. And then the second one, the place where we were taking lessons closed, so she decided to continue doing lessons out of her house, it was just too far away. So.
I thought you were going to tell me one of them went deaf or something.
No, I usually start by telling you all my teachers desert me, so what does that tell you?
Well, last semester, one of my daughter's college professors died the day before their final exam. I'm like, what did you guys do to that guy?
Well, there was a serious, it seemed like when I was in elementary school, every year our class that we had a teacher that retired, so for like second, third, fourth grade along, first, second, third, and fourth grade, all of them retired the year we had them, and then the next two retired within a year. So I don't know, we were driving teachers out of the school.
It was this wave of bad students.
And we were just like the students that put them over the top. The hell with this profession, I'm out of here.
Let's see, what else do we need to tell people about AFB or Paul? Anything?
No, I think we've
exhausted it.
Covered the lot for. What are you guys doing here this week? You got anything you're looking forward to accomplishing?
Well, obviously, this NIMA stuff is important to us and huge. It should be important to everybody listening to this cast. In fact, I'm going to play Julia's piece and a few other selected pieces. Were you in there this morning for the NIMAC update?
I was not, so I was just going to ask you if you've been putting up some material on the center that you guys are going to be responsible for running and playing a key role in.
Absolutely. And that's pretty exciting because we just signed a contract with Overdrive to supply the security and everything for us.
I've been hearing that was about to happen, so I'm going to catch the
mouse. That's right. You're on the...
To finish Larry's thought, I'm on the advisory committee that Senator has at APA.
Thank you. Yeah, because people would have never known what I was talking about. Who else is on that committee, Paul?
Let's see. Steve Griesler. And there's a guy going down this way, Orlando, who's a special ed administrator here in the school system, who actually comes from Blaine, as I'm blanking on his name, however.
And Driesler's with the American Publishing
Group. And there is another guy from publishing. Oh, this is terrible. You caught me off guard. I'm not remembering who my colleagues are. Jim Kruckerman's just been added to the group, I think.
Yep. And there's another new one about to be added, but I can't divulge his name yet.
Okay.
But you know him.
I think I do.
Now, is Marshall on there? No. The guy from Nashville, I can't remember his last name.
No.
Breeding, I think? Or something? Okay.
I don't think so.
So this is a group that basically tries to make sure
that... Oh, Leslie Durst from Indiana.
Oh, is she?
An instructional materials center for the state of Indiana. For
And I think her husband's superintendent of the school there.
That's interesting. I think you may be right. Actually, I know you're right. So, there's a couple other. It's a good group. It's not too large, which makes it nice to have some good interaction.
Yeah.
Oh, Chuck Hitchcock from the Cap.
That's
coming back to me.
I'm thinking about the room and who was sitting where at the last meeting. Actually, that's my little view. Rick Ferry, I think, is the guy.
Oh yeah. Okay. He's here. He's here today too.
Before I totally get off of the AFB gear, I did want to remind people, if they haven't had a chance to look at our blog that we're doing.
Oh,
mostly it's Carl Augusto. Now, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, blindness-related stuff, but he has actually put a few, you know, Carl-ish kinds of things up there. For example, in December, he put up his ode to Madonna. I bet a lot of people don't know that he's a huge Madonna fan.
I certainly didn't.
So, I had actually sent a comment in, but the blog wasn't working for that couple of days, and it didn't take my comment. But I had written that, you know, not that I'm not such a huge Madonna fan, but I had a great time with my teenage daughter going to a five-band standing club only. No one in this club, just standing room.
Yeah.
4.5 hours. Fall Out Boy, which is now huge, but at the time was, you know, this was 4 months ago, was kind of still coming up with the headline. Fall Out Boy is all over the top 40 now with Dance Dance and Sugar I'm Going, Sugar We're Going Down. Anyway, it was them and four of the lesser known bands. And so I hadn't been to a concert in a long time. I've never been to one of these, you know, crazy.
Well, they have the mosh pit.
So they're already standing there. First show, it's kind of ho-hum. Nobody's really into it. Second band, things are starting to get a little more going. Third band, all of a sudden, these bodies are smashing into me.
Like on your shoulders and your head and stuff.
Holy crap. I'm going to die here in this club. I'm going to be stamped under these people. Why are they doing this? So by the fourth band, my daughter kind of pulled me aside and said, Dad, it's a mosh pit. I didn't want to be a part of it.
So that was your first experience.
It was my first experience.
I have never...
I'd say it's a great thing for a blind person.
Yeah.
It's very tactile. You got these bodies coming at you. You just got to be ready to... First of all, you don't want to hold a drink in your hand.
But do you want to be the one being moshed?
Well, you know, you want to be kind of on the edge of it, I think, so you can kind of push. But not right in the middle where you're getting crushed from all sides.
But what about the person up on top?
Well, you know, we only had a couple of people do crowd diving, it didn't seem like a crowd that was really supporting it. So it was mostly just us crashing into each other.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
cool.
It was good. It was good fun. And the concert was fun, and I have to admit, I succumbed to age and put earplugs in about midway through.
Paul.
I know.
Your daughter. daughter's going to hear this, you know.
Well, she knew.
Okay. It's a good thing you had some with you. So you came prepared.
I was prepared. She knew that Dad was going to probably have to give up at some point. Just old.
What are you about, 45?
You're not too far off. Just turned 43.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, check out the blog. You might even find some fun stuff there about Carl that you didn't know. And, you know, it got, I tell you what was the best thing for it. It was a terrible thing, but it was the best thing for our blog. It was a couple of months ago when we launched it. It was just after that New York Times article came out about the hiring of a blind person as a cook. And it was just, you know, full of all the nasty, horrid stereotypes. The worst thing you could imagine.
I read that article.
And we got a lot of traffic on the blog, got a lot of people stirred up writing letters into the Times. Unfortunately, they didn't do much.
God, I was going to say, I bet it didn't do anything, did it?
But at least we hopefully raised their knowledge level in the food section, which, you know, probably hadn't dealt with blindness much.
True. Yeah, that was a very insensitive article.
Probably the worst thing I've seen in many years.
Yeah, it's almost like it was something that came out of the 40s or 50s or something.
Yeah, only with, you know, current Gen X side references to it.
Yeah.
It was sort of like watching, MTV or something with VH1 with, you know, these I Love the 90s shows. You know, who can be more snide than the next person?
Yeah.
It had a lot of that attitude about it.
Yeah, and I guess for anybody that hadn't read that article, is it available anywhere still? I'm sure it is somewhere.
I would guess that if you go to our blog, if you go to our site and follow the blog link,
okay,
you'll get an archive, and I think you can probably get to the article that way.
Okay. Yeah, it's worth reading just to educate yourself.
It is, and
ignorance.
I think some of the blog comments would also be intriguing, especially for anybody who is in the food service business, because it's interesting to see that people started talking about some things, and probably there hadn't been a forum for people to talk about blindness in food service in that way before. So, and obviously, a lot of blind people work in food service. That's not exactly unique. But perhaps not a lot in the commercial establishment. And I think it allowed for some interesting responses to get filtered in. So anyway, I'm hoping the article was archived there. I'm assuming it is.
You know, I was in Waffle House the other day, and it reminded me of that article. Something did, and what it was that apparently the cooks back there were two of them, and apparently they couldn't read, because the waitresses would say something like, "May I order?" or something like that. And if the guy was ready, he'd say, "Yeah," and then they'd call it out to him. And I thought, that'd be a perfect way to, a totally blind person could be a cook that way. I mean, no problem.
No need to read the slip.
Yeah, because that's really the only barrier to being a cook.
Isn't that interesting? Maybe they were blind, Larry. You should have gone back.
Well, no, I asked my girlfriend.
Okay.
She said they were from some African nation.
Yeah.
Where they just didn't speak English at all.
Or maybe didn't read English well enough.
That's probably what it was. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they obviously spoke it, because you're right. Die. Man, I should have got four ice cubes, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you got to keep up there, dude.
Well, let's see. I guess we should go in and wrap it up. I mean, we can still talk, but
definitely want to go on and check out blindcooltech.com.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to go hear the sound, hear how it sounds.
You'll be amazed at the quality.
No doubt. Put my final plug in for the book for Larry. It's a fine product. Proud that you guys have worked on it and put it out and kept making it better. You were mentioning earlier the Coke spill. I was the one that actually crashed one within a week of you giving it to me.
So I don't know if it helped at all that I, you know, as a beta tester, the only thing that I did was destroy it. But, you know, perhaps you learned something in that process.
That's why you don't want to do any more beta
testing. That's
testing.
Exactly why I don't want to do beta testing.
We ruined you.
I know that I have nothing to add except the potential of completely destroying the product.
You know, that actually is very valuable. Sometimes, you know, people hit keys or do things that we just never tried.
Yes, well, that's why I should probably always be in somebody's test queue toward the beginning of a product cycle, because I'm going to probably be the one that discovers those fatal key pushes. I have a tendency to be a little impatient when it comes to key pushing.
Yeah.
I don't like waiting very much.
That's good testing.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I'm going to have to make sure I get in touch with you for this next product we're coming out with, which I can't really mention what it is, either to the podcast or to you, but you'll like it, and it's cool.
Well, if there's a potential for me to help you by destroying it, I'm there.
Destroy away, man.
Yeah. I would be happy to help.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on Blind Cool Tech, Paul.
Thanks.
And how do you spell your last name?
It's SCHROEDER.
And
it's pronounced Schrader.
And would you like to give an email, contact info,
yes,
or anything?
Absolutely. It's my initials, so it's PWS, so Paul William Schrader, PWS@AFB.net.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thank you, Larry.